How are you glad to be here tonight? You know, the Lord is right at the very time of destroying the entire world. I don't know whether some of you are aware of it or not, but God is on the verge of destroying the entire world. I noticed that our president, Mr. Reagan, has sent some strong warnings to Russia concerning the Poland crisis. And I appreciate him having a backbone. I'm grateful. I'm not critical of the president. I'm glad that we've got a man with a backbone, because if he didn't stand up for us, the nations would literally run over us and tear us to bits. And I thank God that he's placed a man in there with a backbone. But on the other hand, the Bible teaches that the race is not to the swift, neither the battle to the strong. If a man build a house, unless he acknowledges the Lord, that the Lord builds the house, the man's labor is in vain. The Bible teaches, unless the Lord keeps the city, the watchman riseth, but in vain. Our guns and our tanks, our great powers, they don't mean a thing. Unless God keeps America, she's gone. The Bible teaches, blessed is a nation that maketh their God the Lord. The Lord has been the God of America, and we've been a blessed nation. But now money, powers, prestige, all the things, sports, all the things that's detestable in the sight of God, they've become America's God. And now America has become repulsive in the sight of God. And he's on the verge of bringing her to her knees. And he's on the verge of destroying the entire world, shaking it just like a baby would shake a rattle. We're on the verge of it. Something is taking place. The Lord is upset with the people. Reading over in the 27th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, I want you to hear what God thinks about America and the lands abroad that have given themselves over to Satan, and what God thinks about Satan himself. In the 26th verse of the 27th chapter, thy roars have brought thee into great waters. The east wind hath broken thee in the midst of the seas. Thy riches and thy fares, thy merchandise, thy marinas and thy pilots, thy caucus and the occupiers of thy merchandise, and all thy men of war that are in thee, and in all thy company which is in the midst of thee, shall fall into the midst of the sea in the day of thy ruin. The Serbs shall shake at the sound of the cry of thy pilots, and all that handle the oar, the mariners, and all the pilots of the sea shall come down from their ships. They shall stand upon the land and shall cause their voices to be heard against thee, and shall cry bitterly and shall cast up dust upon their heads. They shall wallow themselves in the ashes. And they shall make themselves utterly bald for thee, and girt them with sackcloth, and they shall weep with thee with bitterness of heart and bitter wailing. And in their wailing they shall take up a lamentation for thee, and lament over thee, saying, what city is like Tyrus, like the destroyed in the midst of the sea? When thy wares went forth out of the seas, thou fillest many people. Thou didst enrich the kings of the earth with the multitude of thy riches and of thy merchandise. In the time when thou shalt be broken by the seas and the depths of the waters, thy merchandise and all thy company in the midst of thee shall fall. All the inhabitants of the isle shall be astonished at thee, and their kings shall be so afraid, they shall be troubled in their countenance. The merchants among the people shall hiss at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and shall never shall be any more. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a God, I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas. Yet thou art a man, not God, though thou set thine heart as the heart of God. Behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that they can hide from thee. With thy wisdom and with thine understanding thou hast gotten thee riches, and hast gotten gold and silver into thy treasures. By thy great wisdom and by thy traffic hast thou increased thy riches, and thine heart is lifted up because of thy riches. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast set thine heart as the heart of God, behold, therefore I will bring strangers upon thee, the terrible of the nations, and they shall draw their swords against the beauty of thy wisdom, and they shall defile thy brightness. They shall bring thee down to the pit, and thou shalt die the death of them that are slain in the midst of the seas. Wilt thou yet say before him that slayeth thee, I am God? But thou shalt be a man and no God in the hand of him that slayeth thee. Thou shalt die the death of the uncircumcised by the hand of strangers, for I have spoken it, saith the Lord God. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise they have filled the midst of thee with violence. Thou hast sinned, therefore I will cast thee as profaned out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thy traffic. By the iniquity of thy traffic, therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. Again the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Zidon, and prophesy against it, and say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Zidon, and I will be glorified in the midst of thee, and they shall know that I am the Lord, when I shall have executed judgment in her, and shall be sanctified in her. For I will send into her pestilence and blood into her street, and the wounded shall be judged in the midst of her by the sword upon her on every side, and they shall know that I am the Lord. And there shall be no more a pricking briar under the house of Israel, nor any grieving thorn of all that are round about them that despise them, and they shall know that I am the Lord God. Thus saith the Lord God, when I shall have gathered the house of Israel from the people among whom they are scattered, and shall be sanctified in them in the sight of the heathen, then shall they dwell in their land that I have given to my servant Jacob. And they shall dwell safely therein, and shall build houses and plant vineyards. Yea, they shall dwell with confidence when I have executed judgment upon all those that despise them round about them, and they shall know that I am the Lord their God. You'll notice the Lord uses the terms here that because of the great, wonderful wisdom, whereas wisdom is a great thing, the Bible said, desire it above everything. Seek after wisdom. Get wisdom. Call it your kinswoman. Love wisdom. Understand wisdom. Always have wisdom. And yet, the Bible speaks of wisdom without God. Whereas the Jews, according to the Bible, they went contrary to God. It was wisdom without God. America has had great wisdom, great knowledge, colleges, great schools, but the brightness of Satan within them, the wisdom that Satan has manifested through the human family and especially in America, that wisdom has corrupted them, and they have eaten from the tree of knowledge to the extent that they are literally filled with great knowledge. Their wisdom is so tremendously great. I marveled as I went down to the launching pad down in Florida. As I walked through there and I saw the mechanisms that had to do with the launching of the satellites and the launching of the capsules, it was fantastically unbelievable to see the many things and the many parts and the way they were coordinated. They had them open to where you could look at them. And as I stood there, I literally marveled. And I thought within my heart, I thought, dear God, it just don't seem possible that men could know that kind of thing and put things together the way that is. And there were so many hundreds and thousands upon thousands of different things and parts and the way that they were all fitted together. But see, the Bible says that because of their great wisdom, Satan living within them and giving them that great knowledge, because of their great wisdom, that they had corrupted themselves by their brightness. And it is a true fact that because of the great wisdom of the world, and especially America, they have corrupted themselves. This is why that they have turned to sports. They have corrupted themselves with sports. They've corrupted themselves with frolics. And they've corrupted themselves in lust and desire for monetary values. And they have placed the greater emphasis on the things of less value. And because of this, God is highly upset with them. He is at the point to where He is about to destroy them altogether. He said, I will cast thee down, though thou art in heaven. From thence I shall cast thee out. Though thou climbest up to heaven, and though thou makest thy nest among the stars, from thence I shall cast thee down to hell. I say again, the little capsule that went up, they set the nest on the moon. They called it the nest. The moon among the stars. They set their nest upon the stars or among the stars. And God said, though thou climbest up to heaven, from thence I shall cast thee down to hell. And it is a true fact that it has come to pass that they have climbed up to heaven. And the serpent has climbed up into the upper level. And they tell me that the only religious thing that got into that capsule was something from the Catholic Church. It has climbed all the way up to heaven. But God said, I will cast thee down to hell. I am persuaded to believe if the first part of what God said has come to pass, and if those people have climbed up into heaven, then I am persuaded to believe that though they have made their nest among the stars, that the second part of what God said will come to pass, and He will literally cast them down to hell. That He will literally shake the heavens until the stars fall from heaven. Did you know He told Moses that He'd shake the earth? Later, we're told by the teachings of the great apostle that He one time shook the earth, but the next time He said, I will shake heaven and I will shake earth. God will literally shake it until the stars fall from heaven. John said, I beheld the stars as they fell from heaven like a fig tree shaking off her untimely figs. I saw the rich men. He said, they run for the mountains and the caves and the dens. He said, I saw them throw their money to the bat, or to the bats. He said, and they run for the rocks, and they run for the mountains. And they cried, let the rocks and the mountains fall upon us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne. And so it is that that last part of what God said is about to transpire. That thing is about to take place. And you look around you and you see the stars of Hollywood falling. You know your types and your shadows. You can tell by that the signs of the time. If you're able to discern by the Spirit, then you can see the signs of the time. Allegories and types, things that take place. What is that? It's the signs of the time. And Jesus rebuked the people, saying, you are hypocrites. Though you are religious, he said, you are hypocrites. He said, you can discern the face of the weather, and you can tell when it's going to be cold or going to be warm, or when the rain's coming or the sunshine's coming. He said, but you're hypocrites. He said, because you cannot discern the signs of the time. Now, he said concerning the church, you're not hypocrites, for you're not children of the darkness, but ye are children of the light. And ye shall know when that day is nigh. Ye shall know when that day is coming upon you. Ye shall understand, and ye shall be prepared for it. But he said to the world, ye are religious hypocrites. So then it is a true fact that these types and shadows, these revelations, they are signs of the time. We see the signs of the time taking place. So then we know the destruction is at the door. We know it's just about time for everything to be blown to bits, because Revelation tells us that it will be. John tells us that the islands will actually move out of their places, that the stars will turn loose, and they will literally fall from their sockets. God said that this would happen. And here we are right at that moment, right at that time. Look at our president fussing, feuding with Russia, two of the greatest nations in the world, right at each other's throat. Whereas the Bible said there will be wars. He said there will be rumors of more war. And that's all we hear. It's one war over here and another war over there. And then there's rumors that there's going to be more war. Always rumors that there'll be war and more war. And so then we know that we're living right in the final moments. The Bible said there would be earthquakes in divers places. And when we look around us, they're having earthquakes more than they've ever had in the history of mankind. And they're having greater, and they're more frequent than they've ever been before. Earthquakes are taking place. The Bible said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. He said, they will be marrying, and they will be given in marriage. He said, they will be eating, and they will be drinking. Look at the day that we're living in. People are marrying one time, and two times, and three times. It's just marrying over and over. Look at the day that we're living in. People are eating and drinking. Hardly anybody stays home anymore to eat and drink. They go out to cafes. You can't hardly get in the cafe anymore because people are eating and people are drinking. The Bible said, and there shall be signs in the heavens above. Look at the signs in the heavens above. Look at the satellites floating around in the heavens. You've never seen that before. That's come to pass in our generation. That's come to pass in our age. Look at the capsules going up into heaven. Look at those people that are literally going out into orbit and circling the entire world. See, there shall be signs in heaven. Then he said, there shall be fire. There shall be vapor of smoke. We've never had anything that could ever answer to that until the atomic power was set in. The atomic bombs, when they burst, and these hydrogen bombs, when they burst, is just one great big pillar of smoke. He said it would be that way. Those things are taking place. He said, and I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Look at them prophesying. Everywhere you go, there's men and women prophesying. They've never done that before. It's just come to pass in the last few years. And then he said, on my handmaidens I will pour out of my spirit in that day, and they shall prophesy. Look at it. Your sons and daughters prophesying. And did you know that right now at this very moment, there is a cycle of time that's completing itself, and God is bringing in a new cycle. And did you know that at this very moment, you're going to see more of your sons and daughters prophesying and turning to God more than you've ever seen in your life? There are going to be hundreds and thousands of youth that's going to begin to come to God. And they're going to leave off with that hippie world out there. And they're going to quit believing in just any old thing. And they're going to come to God, and they're going to take the Word of God. And if you can prove the Word of God to them, they're going to accept the Word of God. They're not going to fight it and go contrary to it like the elders and die in the wilderness wandering of their minds. But they're going to follow God, and they're going to come to God in great multitudes. And they're going to prophesy, and they're going to carry this gospel. They're going to link arms, and they're going to speak the same thing. They're going to believe in one God, in one faith, and one baptism. And if you don't believe in it, you're not going to be part of it. You can fuss and feud and try to prove your point, but God is going to make them one great unit. And those people are going to move through the earth like a mighty army. Now you watch what I'm telling you. It's already setting in. The time is already here for it. We've been speaking of it coming for a number of years, but it's not coming now. It's already here. It's already setting in. And you're going to see a great move among the youth that's going to shake the elders up so bad until they're literally going to be torn to pieces when they see that the youth doesn't care for their money, doesn't care about being a millionaire, that doesn't care about the ritualistics of the nation, but that they want God, and that's all that they want, because they have been out there in the hog pens of the world. They've had money, they've squandered away goods, they've had automobiles, they've filled themselves full of the lust and desire of the passions, and it's all cankered on them, and it's all corrupted to them, and they're ready to throw everything overboard and get in and go on with God. They have seen the elders give their life for the temporal advantages of this world, and they are literally sick and filled up with it, and they're ready to do something for Jesus Christ. They've seen many of you use your life up trying to get a hold of a dollar and trying to get a hold of material advantages, and they've decided that you, after you got it, it didn't do you any good at all, and that you had to die and leave it. That is, they that have passed on, they've died, they've left it, you'll do the same thing. And they have decided that what they want to do is get something that will be a lasting treasure and hold on to something that will do them some good. I talked to about two or three young fellas over in the late evening, and they said, pray for me, said they wanted to get straightened out. They wanted to do right. They wanted to come to God, that they were sick of that out there. And I have so many of them that come to me, that talk to me like that. They're tired and weary and sick of the world, and they don't want that out there. They realize that we've got the greater thing. We've got the greater thing. I know that I've got the greater thing. And they realize that we've got the greater thing, and now they're willing to get away from that out there to be able to get what we've got. You might not remember the vision that I had here a few months back, but in this vision, I stood and I saw people, the women with long dresses on. I saw men that was godly and holy. And I saw this group standing there, and the rapture was fixing to take place. And I saw the rich men with great, big, beautiful, fabulous mansions. I saw them forsaking those, and I saw those houses just fading away as they literally walked off and left those things to try to get with that group that was standing there that was fixing to be raptured out of this world. Folks, this thing is real. This thing is real, and God is doing something, and the youth especially is beginning to notice it. You know, we got a few youth here at Bethlehem that needs to perk up. That's right. You know, some of the youth here just kind of drag around, and they're not really getting in and going on with God. But I'll tell you, it won't be long before they're going to be rocking your boat so that you're going to be afraid that you're going to fall out on your head, because they're going to be trying to get in there and root you out, and you're going to be holding on for dear life. Now, you'll see it'll come to pass. Why? Because God is on the move. And Israel, every time that cloud began to move, that entire camp began to get tore up. Did you know that? As long as that cloud was standing still, they got complacent. They would just kind of settle down, and they got filled with lethargy. But when that cloud began to shift about, everybody in that camp began to get tore up. And you could hear them, no doubt, whispering one to another, saying, "Hey, there's something going on. We better get in touch with Moses. We better get in touch with those captains and those leaders and those people that know something about God. That thing shifting about, something fixing to take place." And brother, I want you to know tonight that clouds begin to shift about. It stood still for a long time, but that thing is beginning to move, and God is on the move again, and God's people are beginning to shake themselves, and they're beginning to shift with that thing. They realize something is taking place, and they don't want to be left behind. The end of the world is here. Jesus pointed these things out. Everywhere we look, we see the end of the world. Things are happening. On every hand, we see the fulfillment of the Holy Scriptures. There's not one thing that Jesus spoke of, but what it has come to pass. We are seeing everything that the prophet spoke of come to pass. We're seeing everything that Jesus spoke of come to pass. Brothers and sisters, when you see that, that means there ain't no more. That means there ain't no more. The Bible said the mysteries of God would be finished at the sounding of that last trump. Surely to the great God of heaven, the last trump must be sounding somewhere. The last trump must be ringing out somewhere. There's no doubt about it. I don't know whether you're getting your part of it or not, but I'm getting my part. There's one thing about it. Your basket might be empty, but mine's filled up and running over. Paul spoke of his much revelation. And God has been so gracious to me that He has given me more than my share. So then I'm getting my part. I don't know what you're getting. I hope that you're getting yours. But it's for sure that I'm getting mine. I mean, I'm just getting abundance of it. And I'm glad because God promised it to me and He's keeping His word. Now, I know that some of you are not activated by the Spirit. I'm well aware of that. You're very carnal. And I know that when I get up here to minister to you, I know that. But still, see, that doesn't have anything to do with me. That's the good part about it. Now, if your condition had to do with me, then I'd be all tore up. But see, your condition don't have to do with me. I have an individual concern, just me and Jesus. I've got everything worked out just between me and Jesus. I've took special precautions to work out everything between me and Jesus. And I spent a lot of years making sure that all was well between me and Jesus. Every day of my life and all through the night, I take special precautions around the clock to make sure that never at any time is there anything between me and Jesus. But now, what you do, that's your business. You know, the Bible said, "My people have forgotten me days without number." He said, "The ox knoweth its owner. The ass, he knows the crib that he belongs to." He said, "But my people don't consider. They've forgotten me days without number. They've hewed them out, them broken cisterns that won't hold water. And they have committed the two evils in that they have forsaken the living God." So then, they are not walking with God, but by His help, I'm walking with God. You know, your neighbor might not walk with God, but that don't keep you from walking with God. A lot of people in Enoch's day didn't walk with God, but the Bible said Enoch walked with God 300 years, and he was not, for God took him. I'm walking with God. Every day of my life, I walk with God. Yeah, I know you don't even believe that. Some of you don't even believe that. But still, that doesn't matter, see? It doesn't affect me.
It doesn't affect me.
I still walk with God.
Your unbelief and your doubt in of my life and my fellowship with God can never change that. See, every person is an individual. They can walk with God. You may have a wife. You may have children. But you can walk with God and your wife and children die and go to hell. You may have a wife or a husband. You may have children. But you can walk with God and your husband and children can die and go to hell. The Bible said two will be in the bed, one will be taken, and the other shall be left. Two shall be in the field, one shall be taken, and the other shall be left. Two shall be grinding at the mill, one shall be taken, and the other shall be left. So then you can be walking hand in hand with somebody, and that individual can be left, and you can go on to be with Jesus. So then we see that God has spoke concerning the awfulness of the nation and of the world, and that they have allowed Satan to enter into their heart. And because they have allowed Satan to pervert them in the sense that they want to try to mix ball games and religion together, programs and religion together, societies and religion together, inasmuch as they've done this, God hath rejected them all. So then it is up to us as the children of God to walk with the Lord. Walk with Him every day, not one day, but every day. We need to walk with God every day. If you don't walk with God every day, then you're not a child of God. You have to walk with God every day. You might say, well, Brother Pike, I walked with God yesterday, but today I just felt like I had to do something else. But if you don't walk with God every day, 24 hours around the clock, you are not God. You don't belong to God. And if you can't cast down every thought, every imagination, until every thought that comes to your mind is in harmony with the Word of God, then you can't be a child of God. You've got to bring every thought into subjection to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Any thought that comes to your mind that will not subject itself to the Lord Jesus, you have to reject that and put it out of your mind. If you accept one thought that's contrary to the Lord Jesus Christ in any way whatsoever, then you are defiled. And God said, if you defile the temple, I will destroy the temple. You know, that's one thing about Bethlehem. When you come to Bethlehem, you hear the truth. Then when you hear the truth, you are accountable. When you come here, we tell you that you have to repent of your sins. We tell you that you have to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. Now, before you come here, you was all right, to the extent that God was obligated to bring you to a place to hear the truth. But when you hear the truth, God isn't obligated anymore to you. And if you reject the Word of God or the truth, then God rejects you. You know, the Lord said to Saul, because thou hast rejected the Word of God, I have rejected thee. I preached to you the other night where the Bible said, because my people have rejected knowledge, I have rejected them. So then, it is a true fact that you hear the truth, but you must obey the truth. To hear the truth is not enough. Take baptism. You say, I've been baptized, Brother Pike. You might have been baptized. I don't doubt that. Before I came to the knowledge of baptism in Jesus' name, I had been baptized. I'd been baptized in a Pentecostal church. I'd been baptized in a Baptist church. I'd been baptized in water a time or two. But I still had not been baptized right. Because when they put me down in the water, they said, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And they never called the name Jesus one time. So then I wasn't baptized right. I had to be baptized over because I had come to the truth. And when you come to the truth, you've got to be baptized over. Now, you may get it in your mind that you don't have to, and you can tell yourself that you're not going to do it because it's not necessary. And you can say, I believe what Brother Pike says, but, and you're going to wind up in trouble. Because you're going to have to get in the water in the name of the Son of God. Because God has brought it to you. He's given you an understanding of it. And you can criticize and find fault and try to speak it away all you want to. But God is going to require it of you in the day of the judgment. There is a remission of sin in none other name but the name of Jesus. I like what Don said. Don came here a few days ago. Being from the Indian reservation, Don heard the truth. He wanted to be baptized. We took him and baptized him in the name of the Lord Jesus. He said, I've already been baptized. He said, but I know now that I was baptized wrong. And said, I want to be baptized right. You know, it's bad enough to be wrong about a thing, but it's even worse when you continue to stay wrong. Isn't that right? It's bad enough to be mixed up in your mind, but it's a terrible thing when somebody tells you how to get straightened out and you still refuse to do it. Isn't that right? So then you've got to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. Not only that, but baptism is just one thing. The Bible said that you've got to have your fruits unto holiness. You might have been Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, whatever. But if you was not living a holy life, then you didn't belong to God. Now you might have been sincere, and no doubt that's why God brought you to the truth. When you are sincere, God brings you to the truth. But being sincere doesn't mean that you are a Christian. I say this a lot of times. People overseas, they sincerely feed their babies to the crocodiles and the snakes. They're very sincere. That's why they do it. But that doesn't mean that they're right in what they're doing. Being sincere does not mean that you are right. And belonging to a church, though you be ever so sincere, and though you be ever so convinced that because you belong to that church, you are going to heaven, yet you're still going to hell. Because the Bible teaches that though you believe, you may believe with all of your mind, all of your strength, all of your heart, that you're going to heaven, but you're still going to hell. Because you are believing a lie and you will be damned. Any time that you believe something contrary to the Word of God, it is a lie. Anytime you believe that you're going to heaven when you're not honoring and obeying the Holy Scriptures, you are believing a lie and you will die and go to hell. It doesn't matter. You can say, my grandfather, my grandmother. You may say, I know 1,000 people that's passed on or whatever, and I just know they went to heaven. They were a good old soul. You don't know that any of them went to heaven. You don't have any proof of any of it. All you do, you just live in hope, trying to believe that they did. But there's only one way to be with God in peace or to get into the kingdom of God, and that is to believe in the Word of God. And the way that you prove that you believe the Word of God is that you act upon the Word of God and you do exactly what the Word of God tells you. If you say that you believe the Word of God and you don't act on the Word of God, the Bible teaches that you are a liar. And all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. If I tell you to repent of your sins and you don't repent, and you say that you are a Christian, you are a liar. If I say that you must believe in the Word of God to the extent that if it says be baptized in the name of the Lord, and you say, I believe it, and you don't do it, you are a liar and you will go to hell. All liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. Don't ever tell anybody that you are a Christian unless you do the will of God. Don't ever tell anybody that you love God unless you keep His commandments. If you tell somebody that you love God and you don't honor God's word, which is His commandment, then you are a liar. And you will have your part in the lake of fire. So you can see how close this thing is. Here we are in the end of the world. And hundreds of thousands of people are not going on with God. Now, it isn't because they're not religious. Did you know that all kind of churches are confederating? I got a list right now. They just sent me on. A list of churches from this is called America for Jesus, Washington for Jesus. And it's got everything from Presbyterian to the Baptist and I don't know what. All of them are coming together. And I think that's good. People need to come together and they need to love God. But folks, let me tell you something. a bunch of religious people and churches coming together, that isn't going to get God's favor. You don't find in the Bible where God speaks of the multitude of people. He said, fear not, little flock. He said, the trees, my trees, which are my people, shall be so few that even a child shall be able to number them. He said, straight is the gate and narrow is the way, and few there be that find it. He told me and you, he said, strive to enter in at the straight gate. And what I say to one, I say to all. Strive to enter in at that straight gate. He said, for many shall try, that is, be religious, and they shall not be able to get in. So then, there is only one way to please God, and that is to have the Spirit of His Son in your heart. And you cannot have the Spirit of His Son in your heart unless you repent and be baptized in His name for the remission of sin. Now you say, Brother Pike, I don't believe that. That doesn't have anything to do with it. The Bible said, can your unbelief in what the Scriptures have stated, can your unbelief make what God said or the faith of God of none effect? It doesn't matter what you believe. It doesn't matter what your preacher believes. It doesn't matter what Brother Pike believes. It doesn't matter what anybody believes. Whatever the Word of God says, that's the way it is. I could stand here all night and I could say, well, it ain't so. It ain't so. It ain't so. But when I finished, I would find out it was just exactly like it was to start with. Without alteration, it's settled in heaven and it can't be changed. And the Bible said, if any man add unto it, the plagues of this book will be added unto him. And if any man take away from it, his part will be taken out of the book of life. So then, you see, we can't do anything. All we can do is honor and obey God, be born to the Spirit of God. If you don't have the Spirit of the Son of God on the inside of you, you are not a Christian. If you do not have the infilling of the Holy Ghost, which is the Spirit of Christ, you are but a believer. That's all. You're just a believer. Because the Bible said, if you have not my Spirit, you're none of mine. And the Bible teaches there's one God and He is a Spirit. And if you have not a Spirit, then you're none of His. There's no such thing as getting God's Spirit today and the Holy Ghost's Spirit tomorrow and the Son of God's Spirit the next day. There's no such thing as getting saved today and sanctified tomorrow and filled with the Holy Ghost another day. There's no such teachings in the Bible as that. You are, as I say, sanctified one time and forever. Once and for all. And that by the blood of Jesus that was shed at Calvary. And when you believe in the name of Jesus, calling upon the name of Jesus, that is, the man said, Paul, repent and be baptized, calling upon the name of Jesus, believing in the name of Jesus. That is, if you believe in it, Paul, do what he told you to do. Call on his name. Go down in the water. That's the way you call upon the name of the Lord. It shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He didn't mean, Paul, as I baptize you, start screaming out and saying, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. But he said, call upon the name of the Lord by putting your faith in Calvary and being baptized in the name of Jesus. This is calling upon the name of the Lord. So then, how do you call upon the name of the Lord? The Bible said there's salvation in none other name but Jesus. And there is no salvation without the remission of sin. And there is no remission of sin except by the shedding of the blood. And the blood which brings salvation by remission of sin is applied to your life and heart through the name of Jesus. And how is that? As you are buried in water baptism in the name of the Son of God, then that is applied to your heart and life because you are going down into His death, into His blood by faith in the name of Jesus. Faith is shown by your deeds. Show me your faith or what you believe without doing anything, and I'll show you my believing as I call upon the name of the Lord. That is, as I put it into action. I'll show you my faith, the writer said, by these things that I do. Now, I believe with all of my heart. You know why we're digging a hole out back? I believe that there is a press that is available for us. And I'm praying that God will send it this way if it won't hurt anybody else. There's somebody else involved in it. Now, but I believe that God had given us a press, whereas the man in the Carolinas says he has. Now, I believe that so much, I went out here to dig a hole to make a pallet for it so that we can get the machine and set it on the pallet. That's faith. That's the way that faith works. Since we've dug the hole, though we didn't have the press to start with, and the man that came down here misrepresented it, yet since we dug the hole by faith, the man that has power to give it called and said, "I'm the man," and said that the press was ours. Now, so then we're only waiting now to see if the man is going to help us with the expense of moving, whereas he might not. But nevertheless, I believed and I acted upon faith. See, that's faith. When you say, "I believe," you must do something about it. God said, "Noah, there's going to be a flood. The only way that your family can be saved is there has to be a boat or an ark built. You got to build a boat, Noah, or you got to build an ark if you want to save your family and save yourself. There's going to be a flood." Noah said, "I believe that." So the saws begin to buzz, as we say, and the hammers begin to ring. I don't know what kind of saw they used in that day, but whatever it was, Noah got busy. You know why? Because he believed what God said about it. You know, I'm satisfied that numbers of people in that day might have said, "Well, I believe you, Noah." You say, "Well, I don't think anybody believed me." I don't know about that. I wonder if some of them didn't say, I believe what you say, Noah. But they didn't help him build the boat. They didn't work with him. They didn't do anything about it. They didn't prove their faith by their deeds. And as a consequence of that, when that flood came, they couldn't get in the boat because God was the doorkeeper. And see, that's the way it is today. It doesn't matter what church you belong to. God is the doorkeeper. And the Bible said, "Strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many shall try and not be able." Said, for once God has risen up and shut to the door, many shall begin to knock and say, "Lord, we're here. We've done such and such in your name. Don't you remember?" He'll say, "The door's closed." Too late, the door's closed. And folks, I'm telling you, this may sound like a fairy tale to you, but I'm telling you tonight, that big door is beginning to swing too. It's beginning to swing too. And after a while, you're going to feel an emptiness in your soul like you never felt in your life. See, you're in the presence of the Holy Spirit. You're in the days of grace. The blood atonement is still up there on the mercy seat, but God is fixing to take it off. And you, when God takes that off, the door is closed. When the blood leaves the seat of atonement, then you will never be able to enter into the presence of God again. Did you know that? Human beings will never again enter into the presence of God. I mean never again. Once the blood is gone off of the seat of atonement. It's only when the blood is there in your behalf, during the days of grace, that you are able to feel His presence or to be in His presence. And the days of grace will be gone forever just as quick as that blood is taken away. You may feel the presence of God right now, but that don't mean you've got the Holy Ghost. That don't mean that you are a Christian. He said, "I will pour out my Spirit upon drunkards and harlots, upon all flesh," He said. I will pour out my days of grace in my days of the Spirit to woo you and to love you and to be kind to you. For the Bible said, "Surely the goodness of God leadeth us to repentance." That you may see this goodness of God and come to repentance. But brothers and sisters, I tell you in the name of the Lord, when the blood comes off of the seat of the atonement, you will never again throughout eternity feel the presence of the Almighty God. Never again. I know some of you don't believe that, but it's so anyhow. You will never again feel the presence of God. That's why we must be born to the Spirit. Adam and Eve was in the presence of it just like you are. God was there. He came to where they were at. They felt His presence. He was around them. But when that great barrier of darkness dropped down between them, that is, God withdrawed, they could feel him no more. There had to be blood spilt from then on. They could feel him no more. See, that's the way it's going to be with you. But you that are born to the Spirit of God, you that have got the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, you will never be out of the presence of God. The blood can come off of the mercy seat tonight, but you'll have just as much of the presence of God or the Holy Ghost as you've always had. No rain on their land. But I tell you what, if you got this fountain on the inside, the fountain, I kind of say something to Brother Fontaine a lot of times, you know, Brother Fontaine or the fountain. That fountain open on the inside. That fountain in the house of David that makes your cup run over. There is a fountain that's open in the house of David. I watched my son, George Jr., tonight. This is a great moment. This is a great hour. People that are not of the Spirit, they're just as cold as they can be. They're just sitting back. They don't have any inspiration. They're not getting any revelation. They think everything is dead and everything is gone. And it's the greatest, most inspiring moment that's ever been in the history of the world. Did you know that? Somebody said, no, Calvary, Brother Pike. Calvary was a dark moment. Calvary was for this hour. The giving us the Spirit of Calvary, that Spirit of God that went out at Calvary, that's the great thing of Calvary right there. This is the greatest, most inspiring moment. Great men have desired to see what you see. Somebody said, well, I don't see nothing, Brother Pike, but I'm talking about you that do see something. Great men have desired to see what you see. The Bible said the prophets desired it. Even the angels desire to look into it. And great, mighty, wise men have desired to hear what you're hearing. Say, well, I don't hear nothing. But he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. It is great and it is mighty in this hour that we're living in. So then, I'm saying this. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you need to get the Holy Ghost. I have the Holy Ghost, for which I'm grateful. You need the Holy Ghost. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you need the Holy Ghost. Because if you don't have the Holy Ghost, then you're going to die and go to hell. You may be a believer, but without His Spirit, you're none of His. There are millions of believers, religious believers, in the world today. But I want you to know that without God's Spirit, you're none of His. All of these people coming together don't mean a thing. But I'll tell you what, if they'll come together on the Word of God, not just partially, the devil will quote enough of it to you to get you into a unit to where Antichrist can take you over. Just coming together in one great unit, that's all Antichrist wants. You do the work and get everybody together and he'll just take the thing over. See, that isn't what God wants. He'd rather have five people filled with the Holy Ghost that's honoring His Word. At Pentecost, 3,000 was added to the church and the rest of them got afraid. After a few things happened over there, Ananias and Sapphira, the others got afraid and they separated themselves. They wouldn't even come near the church. See, God wanted to magnify the church. He's going to do the same thing. God's going to magnify the church. While the crises are beginning to come down on the world, see, the world hasn't had any problems. We've been the ones that's had problems. But I want you to know the world is fixing to have some problems. And if you're of the world, you're going to have some problems. Did you know that? God's going to literally tear you to pieces. He said, beware ye that forget God, lest I tear you to pieces. God's going to literally tear you to pieces. Devils and demons is going to rip you apart just like somebody that had a knife. But them that have the Holy Ghost on the inside of them, you won't be able to shake them. I'll shake heaven and earth. I'll shake everybody in the earth. I'll shake everything. The stars are falling from heaven. That is, out here in Hollywood, I say again, they're falling into corruption. They're becoming sodomites and beatniks and thieves and murderers and everything else. They're falling from that great stardom and people are shocked. Men that are great actors and great activity in the world, great celebrities like Elvis Presley and others are just dying and dropping out, going out. Not only that, but there is that religious side that shows heaven. In the church world, there are men that are being overthrown, great ministers and great women, great people that have been great down through their lifetime, all of a sudden they're getting into corruption, they're getting caught in filth, and they're falling from the heavens of God. They're going out, those fallen stars, they're going out of the mind of God into their own intellectual reasoning of sports and of lust and corruption and money and worldly desire, and their mind is becoming dark with the thoughts of their own self-will and their own way, their own humanistic side of life. They're falling from the mind of God. They're falling from heaven. But it's so wonderful to have God on the inside. You know what it is? When God lifts the blood, when God takes away grace, thousands of people are going to crash from that religious protecting realm of grace and the mind of God and the consolation of His Spirit. They're going to crash down to that intellectual realm of a sudden jolt to where the voice of the bridegroom will not be heard in them no more. No, not at all. In their religious sanctuary, they won't hear that real voice of God. They may be a man there. They may be a preacher there, but God won't be there. He said, when you gather together in my name, just two or three of you, I will be there. But brother, just calling on the name of the Lord and saying, Jesus, save me, will not save you. That is not what God meant when He said, call upon the name of the Lord. Because He said, not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, shall inherit the kingdom of God. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And the will of the Father is the Bible, the Word of God. Jesus said, the volume of the book, He is the Word. And when God says, repent of your sins, forsake sin, have fruits unto holiness, be baptized in Jesus' name, and don't gossip, don't backbite, don't have jealousy, evil, surmising, don't lay up money in this world when people are going hungry, and don't do the things that's contrary to God, when He says that, He means for you to do that. So then proud America is lifted up. Tonight, as a man and an individual, I'm nothing. I am nothing. I don't have anything. But as a man that is a son of God, I have everything. I have salvation. I have God's great eternal riches and splendor and bliss. I have His consolation. While the world is just going thought raving crazy, I have peace like a river. I'm telling you the truth. I know some of you don't believe it. I preached to you for a number of years, you haven't believed it. But I'm telling you, so help me God. The Bible said all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. That means if Brother Pike lies, he'll go to hell just like everybody else. But I tell you in the name of the Lord, I tell you the truth and lie not, I have a peace that surpasseth all understanding. While the world is going berserk, I am at perfect peace in God. Brother, sister, that's why I know it works. That's why I can tell you what I'm telling you tonight. That's why that Brother Pike can continue on when others are falling and stumbling and going headlong. When others are falling aside, that's why Brother Pike can go on. I got a secret. His name is Jesus. He lives inside of me and He keeps me. Like I told some of the brethren the other day, I said, I know some of the fellas don't understand. When I say it, some of them don't believe it. I said, but I really, truly believe in a God that's able to keep me. And I believe that He loves me and He will keep me. And I don't bother to try to keep myself. I trust Him to keep me. Now, I do everything I can to be holy and godly and pure. That's my duty. And I try to keep myself in the sense of doing all I can. But I don't make any efforts to keep myself when it comes to knowing that I have the ability to do it or whether or not He has the ability to do it. A lot of people, they try to keep themselves and they strain every nerve and they make every effort and they don't have enough faith to do nothing. They don't really believe there's a God that actually can keep them from sin. That can keep them day after tomorrow and a month from now and a year from now and 10 years from now. But brother and sister, I believe that there is a God like that. And I went to Him many times and I said, Jesus, I believe You. It's like a song that the Lord gave me. You know, I've been troubled. I've been
all down the trail of sorrow. And Lord, I've been bereaved. But there's one thing about it. I've got hope for tomorrow. Lord, because I still believe. I believe, folks. I believe with all of my heart. It doesn't matter what I've been through with. It doesn't matter how much I've been crushed. It doesn't matter how much problems I've had, how much sorrow I've had. It doesn't matter how much the devil's talked to me and kicked me around and told me this and threatened me and tried to scare the life out of me. I still believe. And I believe with all of my heart. And I believe stronger than I've ever believed in my life. God's grace is sufficient. You can do the same thing. He's no respecter of person. He loves you just as much as He loves me. The blood is up there for your behalf just like it is mine. You can believe, but you're going to have to believe. I'm going to say this in close. When He comes back, He said, beware, lest I find within you an evil heart of unbelief. Now you say, how can I believe, Brother Pike? One way. Paul said, I strive always to keep my conscience void of offense toward man and God. If you won't let no offense get in your heart toward man, and you don't let no offense get in your heart toward God, you're going to have a clear conscience. And my brother, you'll believe. And if you believe, you'll be saved. All right, let's stand together. Another night, a few more words of exhortation to help you to love Jesus and to help you believe. If you love Jesus, then you will believe. And if you follow Jesus, then Jesus will help you in the time of your bereavement. He'll be a comforter. He'll be a consolation. Jesus loves you. But don't play a game, folks. If this Word of God says something, don't you be a religious fanatic and disobey it. You know what a religious fanatic is? Somebody that won't honor the Word, and yet they're religious. They say they believe in it. So then don't be a religious fanatic. Don't be a self-willed person and try to prove your point and just try to hold on to what you say you've got because your grandmother believed in it. The thing to do is get straight with God. Your grandmother might have made it in on what she believed because she might not have known nothing else. And in that day, the light might not have been bright enough, you know. But today, there's light in the evening time, and the light's plenty bright now. And God's going to require everything that you know. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it is a sin. And I want to say this right hurriedly. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin. When you know the Word of God, Jesus said there's none good but God, and in the beginning was the Word, and He was good. The Word, the same yesterday, today, and forever to every generation, even God, was made flesh. To him that knoweth God, and then if he doesn't honor God, or knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is a sin. And the soul that sinneth shall surely die. Remember, Paul said, I was alive without the law. I was alive because God didn't require my life. I was alive. I was in ignorance. I was alive. But then the law came. And when knowledge came of good and evil, which is the law, then sin revived. He said, and I died. For to know to do good and doeth it not, it is sin. And the soul that sinneth shall surely die. Paul said, I died. That is, in the sight of God, I was a dead man. But I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he took care of the time of my ignorance. You come to the knowledge of the truth. After you come to the knowledge of the truth, if you don't obey it, there's no more sacrifice of atonement for your sins. You cannot have the blood in your behalf. But in your ignorance and what you did in your ignorance, Paul said, God washed it all away and I was resurrected. Now since that time I have done good, for I know to do good. And I've done good. See, when knowledge comes, you know to do good. When you know to do good, then if you don't do good, then it's required of you. The soul that sinneth shall surely die. How can I sin? By willful disobedience, transgression, rebellion, or contrariness
to what God has told me through the lips of the minister. For it is not him speaking, but God speaking. It is not him speaking, but the word, the spiritual God word, coming forth from his vocal utterance. It is God the Spirit that has interwoven himself with his spirit. That is the man spirit. And through the vocal utterance of the man, God gives forth his word, his concern, his laws, his commandments. Can you go to heaven without loving God? You know you can't. You know you can't. There ain't no way. Jesus said, I'm the Word. If you love me as the Word, you will honor the Word. For I am the Word to every generation. Therefore, I, the Word, say that if you love me, you will do what I, the Word, have commanded you. But if you do not what the Word says, that is, honor God, the Word, then you do not love God. For he that loveth the Word will keep the commandment of the Word. He that loveth God will honor God and do what God the Word has told him. So then, you need to honor the Lord. If you've never honored the Lord and obeyed the Lord, then I beseech you by the mercies of Jesus and the blood of Christ, do it before it's too late. Don't wait till you breathe that last breath. Don't be a foolish woman. Don't be a foolish man. And then too late, when death comes and you feel the clutches of death as he begins to reach down for you, don't wait then and scream out and say, wait, God, wait, I've changed my mind another day, because he won't listen. You got a day right now. You got breath right now. Now's the time. Now's the time. It'll be too late when breath is gone. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, I don't know whether that's right or not. I tell you what, it would be a whole lot better to have done it, even if you didn't need it, than to get over there and find out that you need it, and then learn that you remember that you've never done it. It's like a little slogan they have with an insurance company. It's better to have it and not need it than it is to need it and not have it. All right, if I am right, then you got everything to lose. Did you know that? But if this is not right, then if I'm baptized in his name, I don't have anything to lose. It's for sure he ain't going to get upset with me about being baptized in his name. That's for sure. So I don't have anything to lose. But you got everything to lose if I am right. If I'm wrong, I have nothing to lose. But if I'm right, you got everything to lose. Let's sing this little chorus together. Let's sing the chorus, I love him.
I love him. I love him. All because Jesus first loved me. And he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree.
You know, if it was the death of Jesus, if it was the death of Jesus, then how do you expect to get salvation any other way outside of being buried with him in baptism? For the Bible said, as many as have been baptized into Christ, they put on Christ. How are you going to get it any other way except through his name? If it is Jesus' death and Jesus' blood, it stands to reason it's got to be Jesus' name. And if it is Jesus' name, then how are we going to get the benefits of it if we don't go through the name? No man cometh unto the Father but by the name of Jesus. That is, no man comes to the Father but by the Son. You say, well, I'm going through the Son. How can you say you're going through the Son and not go through his name? You say, well, I'm going through the Son. There's nothing here but his name. You don't see him. So you can't touch him. You can't go through him. You can't talk to him. There ain't nothing left of him here but his name.
You say, oh, his spirit. No, his spirit is a heavenly thing. You don't see his spirit. It's his name. You hear a vocal sound that says, Jesus, his name. That great Holy Spirit will come to you in his name. He said, for when the Holy Ghost comes, he will come in my name. So you don't have but one way to get to God. That's the name Jesus. Let's sing a chorus, a little bit of that chorus, can we? There's one, ain't but one way to God. There's one, ain't but one way to God. Oh, there's one, ain't but one way to God. Baptized in Jesus' name. Can you sing it? Oh, there's one, there ain't but one way to God. One, there ain't but one way to God. Oh, there's one, just one way to God. Baptized in Jesus. Can't you sing it again? Oh, there's one, there ain't but one way to God. One, there ain't but one way to God. One, there ain't but one way to God. Baptized in Jesus' name. Now if you believe that, say hallelujah. Yeah, I got some believers. All right, there's one way. That's baptized in Jesus' name. For we are all baptized into one body by one Spirit. And that one Spirit, he said, when he comes, he will come in my name. And the Bible said, as many as have been baptized into Christ, they have put on Christ as the wedding garment. And woe unto the man that comes into the presence of God, that comes in without that wonderful wedding garment. He'll be bound hand and feet, cast into the outer darkness. Inasmuch as the body is considered to be mostly water by science, they consider it to be that. So then it is water that represents that new body. And the Bible said, as it was in the days of Noah, 8 people being saved by water, the like figure, whereunto God doth also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, that is through ritualistics or religious ritualistics, but the answer of a good conscience, even faith in God, a good conscience toward God by Jesus Christ, or the death of his Son. Let's just slip our hands up tonight. If you've never made peace with God, if you've never called upon the name of Jesus, I ask you tonight to call upon the name of Jesus. Call upon the name of Jesus while he is near. Call upon the name of Jesus. How can I call upon the name of Jesus? Said Paul, be baptized and wash away your sins, calling upon the name of Jesus. Call upon the name of Jesus like they did down at Cornelius' house. When the Bible said the great loving Holy Ghost came, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, as they lifted their hands to heaven, and Paul said, seeing that these have received the Holy Ghost as well as we, here is water, who can forbid that they should not be baptized in Jesus' name? And the Bible said they were baptized. He commanded them to be baptized in Jesus' name. Though they had the Holy Ghost, they had to be baptized in Jesus' name. Or that is to say, if you've got the Holy Ghost, he'll guide you into all truth and righteousness. Jesus said, thus it becometh us, John, to be baptized. It's truth and righteousness. So then, to fulfill all righteousness, not part of it, but all righteousness, the Holy Ghost will lead you into it. And brother, you can be sure, if you say that you've got the Holy Ghost and you never go to be baptized in Jesus' name, you had a strong delusion, because you didn't receive the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost will guide you into all righteousness. And Jesus said, that is part of righteousness. Somebody would say, well, was Jesus baptized in Jesus' name? He didn't have to be baptized in Jesus' name the way you think. When he was baptized, he was Jesus' name. And everybody from that time on has to be baptized the same way. God is so good. He's so wonderfully good. You believe that God is good?
He's so wonderfully good. And while we're standing here, thinking upon Jesus, I want Brother Fontaine to come up if he will. While we're standing here, I want you to just ask yourself the question, Lord, am I really living a holy life? You know, Brother Frank Beretta come to me the other night, and he said, Brother Pike, he said, I still believe God's going to help me. He said, as rotten as I've been, a real spirit of repentance. But I talked to him to find out just what had took place. He said, you know, so the other night I was in some kind of place and they had a play. He said it was a religious play about Jesus, the crucifixion and whatever. He said, and they detailed it. He said, they detailed it right on down to where I saw the smoke and the people that rejected God that was thrown into the flames of hell. And he said, the one thing that seemed to be outstanding to him, the way he expressed it to me, he said, they showed the people that was real servants of God, that was faithful down through the years serving Jesus. Said, and then they showed the hypocrites. He said, and I saw the hypocrites. I saw them as they went down through the years, so to speak. And it must have really tore him up. It must have really done something for him. You know, if you could see the life of a hypocrite day by day, and that life was revealed, and you saw them, how that they thought they were going to make it in because they're religious, and how that they sidestepped the Word of God, and how they gossip and backbite and do all these things, if you could just pull the veil back and see them like he saw them there all down through that time, walking with God in their way, as they called it, but yet they were a hypocrite. And then all of a sudden the veil just jerked off to their astounding amazement, and then they're cast headlong into the flames of hell. As the Bible said, you think I'm altogether such a one as you, but someday I will meet you. As a bear that's been robbed of her cubs, I will meet you face to face someday. Beware, you that forget God, lest I tear you into pieces. You know how to forget God? My people have forgotten me days without number. You know how you do that? Forgetting the Word. Give the more earnest heed to the Word. Forgetting the Word. Not remembering the Word. Not honoring the Word. Forgetting the Word. Not obeying the Word. Not communicating with the Word, not loving the Word, not reading the Word, not meditating in the Word day and night, days without number. While Brother Fontaine comes to pray for you, examine yourselves tonight, see if you be in the faith. I say this so often. In the latter times, many people shall depart from the faith. That is, they'll depart from the Word of God, and they'll be religious, but they won't have any real faith. You can believe what you want to. That don't mean that you are a believer. You must believe the Word of God to be a believer. For the Word of God is faith. Faith cometh by the hearing of the Word of God. That's what a true believer is. One that hears, believes in the Word, honors it. So tonight, examine yourselves and see if your conviction of religious activity has been altogether in what you think, or what you've thought down through the years, or what somebody's told you, or your idea of religion. See if your convictions is really in the Word of God. If they're not in the Word of God, examine yourselves. See if you're in the faith. If you're not in the faith or convicted in the faith, then do something about it tonight. Make rearrangements. Change your thought, thinking, thing. Change all that you are. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. And God will feed him the fruits of his thinking. So tonight, be fed fruits of righteousness and fruits of holiness, that your man might live off of that tree of life, and let the end be eternal life. Brother Fontaine.